Where did your grandparents grow up?
My grandfather was from Jacksonville, and my great-grandfather was born in Madison, Florida.
Okay.
And he was the one of the seven founders of the Afro-American Life Insurance Company. His name was A.L. Lewis. Okay. And that makes me the great-granddaughter, Marvine. My middle name was Elizabeth Betch. I changed it to Oshun. I love her. She's the goddess.
Could you spell Marvine and Oshun for me?
It was spelled M-A-R-V-Y-N-E, but I got so disgusted with Reagan because of his anti-environmental stance that I took the R out.
Okay.
So it's M-A capital V-Y-N-E-E.
Okay.
The middle name Oshun is O-S-H-U-N. She's the African goddess of the arts.
Okay.
And the last name is Betch, B-E-T-S-C-H. Okay. I have German ancestry too.
Okay, all right.
And
we were talking about your grandparents now.
Oh, yes. Don't forget, I was very lucky that where we lived in Jacksonville at Sugar Hill, which okay. was the name, we were all there together.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
It wasn't, in fact, my hair is in the design of a curve, and the reason for that is because where we lived, 8th Street, which is now the hospital in Jacksonville,
okay.
The two streets merged so that they were a curve. My uncle was on this corner, who was the corporate attorney, Leonard Lewis, for the Afro. My great-grandfather's house was on one corner, and my mom's house was on the other, and my grandfather's was in between.
Okay.
So we all lived within walking distance of each other,
wonderful.
Which was wonderful.
Okay.
We could see each other, and as children, there was always that give and take.
Okay. Can I ask you, the first name of your grand, was Annette, did you say?
The great-grandfather, A.L.
Yes.
Lewis.
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln Lewis was
okay.
his name. He was born in 1865, the same year the Ku Klux Klan was
okay.
founded, I hear.
Okay.
From Madison, and he was the founder of American
okay.
Beach.
Okay.
Yes.
Now let me ask you: did your grandparents, or the older people in this family group that was so happily together,
mm-hmm.
did they talk about the Civil War? Can you remember any discussions about the Civil War or
mm-hmm.
slavery?
No, not too much. Except there was Aunt Liza who spoke of. Some of the Civil War because of Madison.
Aunt Liza?
Who was my great-grandfather's sister.
Okay.
I faintly remember that.
Okay.
But no, it's one of the sad things. I don't have much recollection about that.
Okay. About slavery or life in those times?
Only to the extent that I think my great-grandfather's mother married a second time, or whatever. So I remember him speaking of that, and I'm not sure how it was with slavery. I don't know whether you actually had a ceremony or something of this
mm-hmm.
sort. And I remember the old people would sort of joke about the fact that marriage was just sort of a understanding situation, and they were saying how wonderful it would
under
be
slavery modern. Marriage was not legal.
Yes, was
yeah,
not
that's
even legal.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's about uh-huh. the extent I have of
okay.
that.
Uh-huh. Well, this is called reaching way back.
Of course, I was 10 years old when my great grandfather died, but I do remember those early days of coming to the beach and everything, which I can relate to you later.
Okay.
But Civil War, I must admit, I don't.
Okay, all right. Reason. How did your grandparents earn a living?
The great-grandfather was the founder of the Afro-American
yes.
Life Insurance Company, so he was, I guess what one would call now a wealthy black man, which was at that time certainly unheard of. He was the first black millionaire. His son was the president of the insurance company once he became chairman of the board.
Okay.
So I must admit, I lived a completely not typical black
well, very comfortable
lifestyle.
Life.
Oh yes, comfortable. Very comfortable life.
Okay.
In fact, the area where we lived was near a park, and I remember that the whites lived on the other side, And frankly, Brian, we could go for weeks and never see a white person. So self-contained was our world.
I see.
You went downtown occasionally to make coins, I remember that. But the shops were in the black community. This was La Villa, which you will read about.
Yes, I know La Villa.
You read about this area. There was the Strand Theater. I remember going to see those god-awful gangster films with, what was it, Everett G. Robinson. But I'm glad I went to see them because now it prepares me for all this political mess now.
Yeah.
But the social life was the big dance at Christmas, which the was at the Two Spot. This was the largest black nightclub. Oh yes, the nightclub. It was called the Two Spot. Here, Duke Ellington came, Count Basie, all the black musicians, and seeing my mom and dad getting ready for the dance. I mean, this was dancing was such a basic thing for the social life.
Mm-hmm.
And you mustn't forget now, the insurance company is I mean, it's the hub, because there was the white insurance companies made no effort to lend money to blacks. So of course, the insurance company had to be the mortgage, it had to be the everything for the black community.
Bury the people, sure.
That's right, yeah. It started out as a burial, I'm glad you mentioned that. It started out as a burial insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Burial society, excuse me. So we were everything. We were the dance place for the dancing, the place where you went to get the money, and the Afro gave free health exams for all the babies who parents were, had their premiums with the insurance company. It had its own doctor there. So we were almost like the hospital, the social life, the bank.
A total community.
The total community went around, yes, if you can visualize that, right.
Yeah, I can.
And and of course my mom married the absolute most wonderful man I've ever known, my daddy, who was had such a wonderful sense of humor. I think that's the reason I never married. I think that no way would I marry someone who couldn't give us so much fun.
Yeah.
He, having married into a wealthy family, bless his little heart, I think almost worked himself to death, but he was very smart. My dad would do people's income tax. He had, he was an architect. He would do the housing, and he was also the chairman of all the various branches of the Afro.
Okay.
So
can we dig into where your mother and dad came from?
Oh yes, mother was from Jacksonville, of course. Now this is where the Kingsley plantation comes in.
Okay.
Because my great grandfather married the great granddaughter of Kingsley and Anna.
Okay.
This was great grandmother Mary.
Okay.
And they had one child who was my grandfather. And he had two children, my mom and Uncle James.
Okay.
And Uncle James was this very wealthy corporate lawyer, first black corporate lawyer in the state of Florida. And mother was, she was the organist at the church. Oh, fine, it was wonderful because my great-grandfather, it was a ritual at the church. He being, of course, the old patriarch, sat always at a certain spot. Even at communion, he would sit right there. Everything had to go through him. He was almost more powerful than the preacher. And he served, I remember him serving the wine. This was an AME church,
okay.
African Methodist Episcopal Church.
This is your father?
This is my great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
But everybody went there.
Okay.
See, my grandfather and my mother, mother's at the organ. My daddy is sitting over here. We always sat on the left-hand side of the church. My great-grandfather is sitting in this round area where you went to have communion. My grandfather sat here. It was just automatically we would always sit there. Well, about 2 o'clock on first Sunday, as you can imagine, the preacher's just going on and on, and we're getting hungrier and hungrier.
Uh-huh.
And I should know, my great-grandfather was very quiet, very, as the children say, laid back, very dignified. He very seldom raised his voice, Brian. The most gentle, powerful man. I don't say this because of my relationship, but really, as much as I have traveled, I've been to Africa and Europe and lived there for 10 years. This man had a power in his eyes that was just awesome. He would turn around and give my mother this look, and sure enough, she'd get up on the the stool at the organ and press that button that gives you power. And then she would look up at the choir, and they would start, and as the preacher says, as if to say, "Now, son, will you please shut up? We are hungry." She'd start playing, "Nearer, my God," and then boom, boom. I mean, it was loud. Everybody would say, "Oh, thank you, Abraham, my great grandpa, thank you that you have gotten us out of here," because sometimes the preacher, "You're going to 2:30.
Oh, boy.
2:30. But he was a very powerful man in the AME church, very powerful. He really is.
Now, where did your mother and father meet?
I think they met, you see, Daddy, both of them went to college.
Okay.
My mother graduated from Wilberforce University.
Okay,
my daddy graduated from Knoxville, which was a black college. Right, I don't think it exists now, but which is a black college in Kentucky, Knoxville.
Okay.
And he worked at Atlanta Life. See, they used to call themselves the Big Three. Afro was Florida. There was Atlanta Life in Georgia. There was North Carolina Mutual. North Carolina Mutual is still a billion-dollar black insurance company in Durham.
Okay. Well,
and the three of they called themselves the Big Three. C.C. Spaulding. In fact, North Carolina Mutual will celebrate its 100th anniversary this year, 1998. Black insurance company. Oh yeah, it was unreal what was going on. And
they met.
I think they met in Jacksonville because he was working with Atlanta Life, and of course Atlanta Life had its branches. You know how insurance companies are, and I should imagine that's how they met, because they got married in Chicago. I still have the invitation, and they went to Orlando to live. And I was born 2 years later, 1935, the same year that American Beach was founded.
Okay. Were you born at American Beach?
No, I was born in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Born in Jacksonville. And I think that's when he perhaps started working for the insurance company.
Okay.
And worked his way up until he was the
vice president. Did your mother work at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was the, what do you call it? Register at Edward Waters.
Okay. All right. Okay.
She also taught at Bethune-Cookman. See, now don't forget now, not only was this a central theme for Jacksonville, but my great-grandfather was very much in with Mrs. Bethune. Oh, yes. Mrs. Bethune at one time worked for the Afro.
Yeah.
So my mother taught at Bethune-Cookman for a while,
I
too.
See. Okay.
So they were very good friends, and my great-grandfather was instrumental in helping her, and she in turn helped him, and you see, it was almost like an underground miniature government of its own.
That's very interesting.
You had Ms. Bethune, my great grandfather. You also had Gaston, who was in Alabama, very wealthy black man who had a funeral home. Don't forget the insurance companies were hooked up at funerals.
Yes, that's right. I've read about Gaston.
And in black society, it was the undertaker, the preacher, and the insurance man. These were the upper class, okay?
They held everybody together.
Held everybody together. Yeah. I mean, preacher, oh yes, this is it. And they were the ones with the Cadillacs.
Okay.
That's why they called it Sugar Hill.
Okay.
So,
Sugar Hill was in Birmingham,
in Jacksonville. But Sugar Hill is the place in Harlem.
Okay.
Where the nicer areas in New York.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, you know, New York for Southern blacks was almost like the heaven. Okay. You went to New York. I mean, you know, we heard about Cotton Club and all the Harlem Renaissance place. And of course, James Weldon Johnson was part of the Harlem.
Yeah.
See, back then, they all knew these people.
Okay.
It was a time, we're looking at, my great-grandfather died in 47. So, you know, James Weldon Johnson died in, 38? Yeah, because we're going to celebrate his 60th death this year. He died in 38.
Okay.
So my great-grandfather knew all these people. Oh, yeah. And don't forget, with Tuskegee, what's his name? Booker T. Washington. Founded the National Negro Business League, and my great-grandfather was the treasurer.
I see. Okay.
And in fact, he was so honored. That's how I got him on the National Registry, was because he was the treasurer emeritus for life. And you have to give an, this was one of the things that they asked for when we put his mausoleum, what would be his national significance.
Okay.
Although Florida, he was the first black millionaire, nationally he was the treasurer of the National Negro Business League, Booker T. Washington. Right. Yeah.
Now when did you folks come to American Beach, Nassau County? Did you have a vacation place here first, or did you move up here?
Brian, we used to, my earliest memories were, it was like a ritual. Every Sunday, we ate dinner with my great-grandfather. I'm just so grateful for this. It was just automatic. You went to church and went from there to the cemetery. From there, he would always just sit there and meditate for a while. And then from there, we went to his home for dinner, and from there to the beach.
Drove up from
Jacksonville to the beach. Okay, that's right. This was a ritual. And his home, now there may have been another home there. When you take me today, I will point it out to you. But I can always remember his house as being the first one. I don't know. And it's right there on Gregg and Lewis Street. And his second wife was Mama's own. By now, the first wife, the one who was connected to Kingsley, has died.
Okay.
So this is the second wife.
Okay.
Her name was Elzona Lewis. I don't know her maiden name. Wonderful cook. Oh, that woman can make the best cornbread. Greasy. I guess that would be a no-no now. Woo, that was the best greasy cornbread I've eaten in my life. Oh, it was so good. We would always eat with them. But anyway, here we are at the beach every Sunday. And Brian, nothing I can tell you can describe what it was like back in those days.
Can I ask you for a moment, when you came to the beach, it was your mother and father and you?
No. Mother, often just with a great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather, okay.
And don't forget, my grandfather had a house right next door.
Right.
But he is by now married to a second wife.
I got you.
Although his stepchildren were there, we stayed more with my great-grandfather.
I see, okay.
I mean, there was never any animosity, but you know,
we just
where it fit.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a ritual every Sunday. And
but did your parents come with you too?
Oh yes, they'd come too, because I don't forget the Afro had cottages,
yes,
just within for the employees.
Yes. Uh-huh.
My great-grandfather was very much ahead of himself progressively. The insurance company didn't own it, but the pension bureau.
Yes. Okay.
This is a pension bureau, so it wasn't a case of this elitist group up here, and you know, the typical.
It's the insurance company pension bureau.
Pension bureau,
yeah,
owned the beach, and they did have a cottages, and the employees could rent them.
Okay.
And we never owned a house. I mean, my mother and daddy never actually built a home. It was just my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my uncle actually had houses.
I see.
But we were always welcome to stay there or whatever. And
okay,
as children, we stayed there with
okay
them.
Okay, all right.
And I remember going into Ferndina. There was an ice house right there on Lime Street. That's where, because we had a...
Mr. Nolan's?
Yeah, Nolan? It was an old ice house. I remember coming into Ferndina to get the ice. And don't forget, now, we're the only people at the south end of Mee Island at this point.
Okay.
There was no Mee Island. There was no...
No plantation.
The person you should talk to is a Mr. and Mrs. Hall, who had a store right there on the corner. You seen Lowell Hall's
yes
store? His mother.
Okay.
God said, get to her because
okay
she's getting old.
Okay.
She
okay
can tell you, all black people. I mean, we literally...
Now, is she white or black?
She's white.
She's white, okay.
But we were the economic base for that south...
Yes.
That south end. There was a dairy back there. The white man, he was, all these people are white now, brought us our milk. There was the ice house. I remember that. The Hall family there at the corner where we'd go up and get little things and the gasoline filling station. So believe me, we paid our dues as far as money. And black people, gosh, I mean, this was the show place.
Okay.
You partied and spent money and
mm-hmm.
My grandfather was, what a contrast. I mean, he was the more quiet, almost spiritual, saintly great-grandfather. My grandfather was more like the riverboat gambler, you know. He smoked a cigar. Oh, God, I can still smell that stink thing. he was much more the, let's party time, gentleman type. So.
Well, your family, your mother and father never owned a house at American Beach.
No. Mother had property there, but we never built a home there. No.
So when you were at American Beach in Nassau County, you were here visiting grandparents or uncles or.
That's right.
You were going to school during the school year, you were in Jacksonville. And would come up here on Sunday.
Yes, American Beach was mainly summertime. There were a few people who stayed in the winter, but very, very few. It was mainly a summer beach from Easter to Labor Day.
Okay.
I know exactly, 22. 22 Sundays. And that number, Brian, is very significant. My mother lived 22 years longer than my daddy. She died on the 22nd. My great-grandmother, Mary, was born on the 22nd. That number is...
Makes you think.
Yeah, may think about these numbers. That's another story I could get in there. But anyway, it was just the summertime.
Okay.
Just summer.
Tell me a little bit about your mother and your father. Just what you really remember of them. How?
Again, a study of contrasts. Mother was more the extremely well educated in the sense of her speech and her. She was a school teacher. Daddy was from the country.
Okay.
And. He spoke in many instances a very brilliant man, because he would do all these things, and very good in math.
Okay.
He would do people's income taxes, and he had a beauty parlor. He had a pool table. Now, Ashley Street is the area in Jacksonville. You know, every town had this street, which was the sort of the center of black town.
Yes.
I think it's Auburn in Atlanta.
Yes,
it's Ashley Street in Jacksonville.
I see,
but it's also the place where. You could get beat up, you know. Some of the bad guys would hang out there too.
Okay.
And I never shall forget. Everybody knew my daddy, and they said only my daddy could walk down Ashley Street. He had a big diamond ring. I never shall forget it. No one ever mugged him. No one ever robbed him. Everybody knew John Betch. He was a very social. I can remember 3 o'clock in the morning, Brian. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, hello. This is. Y'all got to come get me out of jail. You tell Mr. Bitch come. See, back in those days, you literally had to go down there and bribe the people.
Yes,
my daddy
yes.
got people out of jail. My daddy got people. Y'all got to help me. I got to get a divorce. And my daddy would go get the divorce. You know. We need some. What's this? My grandmother, we can't get some money for food. And they had the Social Security thing. So daddy would fill out all these things and do all these things. He was the. What was the other thing? During the wartime, the stamps. Remember, Daddy gave the stamps for the sugar. Brian.
Yeah.
Everybody knew John Betch. He was the man who gave the stamps.
Okay.
He was it was just like a huge government. I mean, it's really amazing how we just seem to do everything for the community.
What did you learn from your mother and father about the kind of black history we were talking about a moment ago? What did they have to say about the Civil War and slavery? Now, I know they weren't... How did...
They, believe it or not, most of our talk at the dinner table was more modern, and in the sense that they'd talk about what Booker T. Washington was doing. They didn't talk... I think it was almost tuning out of, which a lot of black people have done, whites too, about slavery and everything. They never talked about the main thing they talked about was we had enough things going on then.
Yeah.
I remember talk about Ku Klux Klan, about people disappearing and things of this sort.
Can you help me with a little of that?
Oh, yeah. See, now don't forget Main Street.
Okay.
Was the Ku Klux Klan territory. Have you ever driven off Herkshire Drive?
Yes, I go down there all the time.
Have you ever seen a black face?
No, no.
You won't?
No.
Even today, Brian, I don't think there's... There may be a black family living off some of the side streets, but this was their territory. North Side was the territory.
Klan territory.
Oh, yeah, Main Street. In fact, that's why we went to the beach in the afternoon. You didn't come down here late at night when it's dark.
Okay.
Because you had to come down. We came down 17.
Okay.
And
up 17.
Oh yeah, up 17 to get to the beach. And it was definitely
Well, now how, if they were active there, were they active around Nassau County? Can you tell me any of that?
I don't remember too much. As I said, our coming in here, I remember going to the Ice House. You see, well, the only Ferndina people I knew were the, I remember there was a maid. Oh, God, I hope I can get to this woman. She gave me her telephone number. I was in Winn-Dixie one day. She said, "Aren't you Mr. Lewis's Greg?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "I used to come out and be his maid whenever they came." Oh, God, I hope, I'll try to find. But the contact, really, with blacks in Ferndina was not, except for those who came to the beach or whatever.
Were you concerned about the Klan coming to the beach? Did they ever bother you out there?
No, but we had trouble with the police. Don't forget, Brian, this is young blood.
Yes, okay. Can you tell me some about that?
Notorious young blood was the police. Sheriff. He was the sheriff.
Yes.
And what a name.
Yes, yeah.
So we definitely had unpleasant situations there, and of course they were only too happy to lock up. Because don't forget now, Brian, I mean, this is, in fact, I hear it is still now that they're saying that some of these large truck drivers, when they see a black person in a very nice car, they deliberately try to run you off the road. I mean, there's still this animosity. It's so funny now. If you're poor and welfare, then they're knocking you, say that. Then when you do arrive, they, you can't win.
Yes.
Then look at these uppity blacks with their cars, and then this jealousy bit comes in.
Yeah.
So it's a very sad thing. And I must admit that I remember Daddy saying that whenever we went to Washington, because we went to school, I went to school at Oberlin, we get up early in the morning because he wanted to get all the way down at least as close to the Virginia border before dark, because the police, they had these traps.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to a small town for gasoline, because this is true, Brian, I mean, this is not hearsay, they would deliver to put things in your batteries, tell you need to do. By the time we left there, we had paid maybe $100, especially if you had a nice car. They knew,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And they are the judge. And my daddy would say, you know, can we protest? You know, not protest, but, you know, what is it? I'm the judge, you pay the money, and I mean, you were scared of it, you better get on out of here. So, but this, I must tell you, though, Brian, the one thing good I remember about the South were the Masons.
Yes.
My daddy was a 33 Mason, and I should remember one night, God, we were scared to death. We had a flat tire. Oh, my daddy said, oh, my God, where were we, South Carolina? Oh, I don't know, somewhere. It was scary. And we didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This white man stopped, and I don't know, is it a signal or sign they give each other or something?
Yes,
they,
I'm not a Mason, but they do have a signal.
But this white man stopped and helped us. Mm-hmm. And I asked my dad, he said, that was a Mason. So apparently in the South, there was an underground.
Yes.
I mean, they were, of course.
They went out of their way to help.
They went out their way. So I must have, and all of my great-grandfather was a Mason. In fact, the Masonic Temple downtown in Jacksonville is one of three buildings that are still black-owned. The Afro Building, the Masonic Temple, and the Clara White Mission.
Okay. Now, we were talking
about.
So
I do know about the Masons.
Okay, Sheriff Youngblood, I've heard people say that he kicked black women.
I've heard horror stories. We were so sheltered. I remember, you know, the men would get together, you'd hear things, and they'd say, oh, children, go in the room.
They didn't want
us to hear it. We've heard of that. We've heard of horrible things. I mean, where they would insert things in black women's vaginas. I mean, really horrendous things. But again, we were so sheltered. They'd say go in the back room or something. I'd hear them talk.
These were women that were arrested for one reason or another.
Right.
That they abused.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yes. And Youngblood, of course, was the sheriff at the time. And the coming to the beach was a ritual, and as mm-hmm. I said, it was for 22 Sundays, Easter to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter, even if you had warm weather, once Labor Day. I think they associate that with the hurricanes, too, because usually we got hurricanes
coming
in September.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
what can you tell me about black people being arrested back in the days when you came to the beach?
Well, as I said, the trap, Main Street, I remember right there where the, that what is, must say, railroad, when you, after you crossed Trout River.
Yeah, I was thinking more about Nassau
close,
County.
Close, oh, Nassau County?
Yeah, what you
Oh, yeah, we'd hear that often because, as I said, luckily for us, many of the things we needed, we brought with us. See, we would only stay most times a weekend, but when my great-grandfather had his monthly vacation, being an executive, he had a month, we would stay the time. Then we'd have to go into town. Then we'd hear stories and things. But we brought most of our things with us because we didn't want to go into town.
Yeah,
we knew
yeah.
what the situation
okay.
was. And
did you ever see a Klan march or a cross burning in Nassau County?
No,
okay.
not in Nassau County. No,
okay.
no.
Yeah. Then were you folks left pretty much alone unless there was need to call police? They didn't harass you down there.
No, because don't forget now, we are, where the people are partying is mostly, but that's that big area, I'll show you when you take
okay,
me.
Okay.
See, my grandfather's house is way over here.
Okay.
Here's a street here.
Okay.
He could sit on his balcony and kind of, not balcony, but sort of like a porch, and look back and see. But they didn't let us, you know, we were children, they didn't let us, we were grown folks. My great-grandfather did not
like
drinking.
You were pretty well shielded.
Oh yeah, we were shielded, and he didn't drink, and he said, oh no, they're coming down to party, which is all right, but they do drink. So it was a no-no for us to go there where they were partying. So we knew of the arrest, we knew of the harassment, but no, we were again sheltered completely.
Back in I guess back in the 20s and 30s, there was something called convict leasing that took place. This was if a black person was arrested by the county or what have you, they would lease that person to the turpentine company or to the lumber company, and and the police department or the county would be paid for the services of that black person.
We have heard of that. You've seen my great-grandfather worked in the mills. That's how he got his little money. To save up to start his own little shoe company. He worked in the mills in Jacksonville. In fact, he had the first two digits were
severed.
Severed, yes. I remember that. And, but anyway, I've definitely heard of that. That is true, Brian. I've definitely heard that, yes. He would mention that. Oh, yeah, that is true. I can't believe it, but it's definitely true.
How about lynching? Did you ever hear of any of that around Nassau County?
Not Nassau County, but what's some of those going around in Baker? Don't forget this whole area, going from maybe this. I try to rationalize. Maybe that's why Nassau picked up. But apparently, going west from Nassau to like Lake City, this was a real bad area too. Going west.
Okay.
So that we heard of things going on
Rosewood
there. Oh yeah, going that area, going towards Tallahassee.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Daytona. I don't remember anything there. Once we got past Brunel, I remember that was a speed trap. That was always a cop there.
Okay.
When you were
growing up, now when you were. Teenager, plus or minus those ages. What did you and your friends talk about relative to black oppression? Is this something that you kids talked about?
Well, now don't forget for us, the latest thing was the latest music out. This was the age of the four, the Ink Spots.
Okay,
And, it's weird right now that I look back because our lives were so separate.
Okay.
See, I don't ever remember going in a white, see, I didn't have to go through a white neighborhood. I didn't even have to go to that area. And we just thought, we would talk about, the Ink Spots are now playing at the Apollo Theater in New York. This was always
this
the
was
talk.
Your
we,
world.
We had a lot of relatives and people who would come, people coming down for the beach again. And they'd tell us, the latest, have you seen Josephine Baker, who is this? You heard of Josephine Baker?
Yes, I have.
I saw her, Brian, before she died in Paris.
Oh, boy.
I was so lucky. She was fabulous. I mean, we would talk about, maybe this is the way my great-grandfather, who always talked on the positive. I mean, we heard the bad things, but it was a pride. Oh, Josephine Baker singing in Paris. Booker T. Washington has just done this at Tuskegee. The talk around the table was always what black people were doing.
Okay. And I can understand.
Was good, which is why I get so depressed when I hear how young people don't relate to this anymore. You hear so much badness, but I think, God, don't you remember what was good going on?
Yes, yes.
We heard this all the time. He was always talking about Booker T. Washington doing this,
What do you think about W.E.B. Du Bois?
Oh, loved him. Oh, yeah, this was talk at our table, and everybody respected this man. I mean, you know, we had Todd Duncan, a famous singer, had just sung a Porgy and Bess. You had off-Broadway show. This was a thing, because don't forget now, black people here in our circle could afford to go to New York to go to a black play or things. Mm-hmm. So we had our own little intelligentsia that became our reason for talking and
how this is a
something
this
different.
Is yeah this isn't Nassau County, but it's an interesting question for me. I've spent a good deal of time trying to understand both Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. They both were different.
Oh, yeah.
They both had different philosophies.
It's like Malcolm and King.
Yes, and I really admire both of them, but they were different people. Did you in your youth understand the differences between the two?
Not really. Let me tell you, I went to junior high school in Washington, D.C. My daddy was so disgusted with the local school system here that he persuaded my grandmother, who had a beautiful home. They lived in the country in North Carolina, Henderson, North Carolina. And we went to school at Banneker Junior High, which was right across from Howard University, the black university.
Sure.
So, which even gave me more pride. I mean, the kids up in Banneker, I mean, they were glad. Black architects, I mean, we walked around like some little arrogant, you know, it's so different. I can't believe how, I guess I was lucky to get all this, but that was my mode of relating in junior high school.
All
oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the south part of the island again for a moment. The Harrison Plantation property was acquired at one point by the plantation.
Yes.
What can you tell me about the Harrison Plantation? You were close when you were there. Was the Harrison?
It was called Franklintown. It was a little town. I remember seeing the sign.
Can you give me some of that history?
Not much except what I've read now, which I may be superimposing. But at the time, I only remember we would see Franklintown, and my great grandfather would point out the fact that he would say, "Oh, black people had their own horses." It was always a positive. I mean, I don't ever remember him saying, "Oh, that was a plantation where they had slaves." He would show us, "Oh, but these black people had their own horses and farms and things." So, as far as I knew, there wasn't even a plantation there.
Okay.
But he talked about that, and he knew the people who lived there. Oh, yeah, there was an Anderson family, the Drummonds.
I've heard that Jimmy Drummond, was that his name, was a Seminole or related to the Seminoles? Drummond, I think.
All that, I remember him talking about that, and of course, the cemetery is right behind American Beach, and that was there, and do you know that there's a Civil War veteran buried there?
No, I did not.
It's a black, yes,
in
Brian.
In the Franklin towns,
I will show it to you today.
Okay.
In the cemetery.
Well, you know, there were many wonderful blacks who fought in the Union Army.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was there. Have you talked to the man at the Fort Clinch?
I have. George I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, okay. But I need to go and visit him again.
Yes, yes, he can give you a lot
begins,
about
George
about
B.
That.
It begins with a B.
But I've got a name too, in case you need that to okay. remind me if you want it, because okay. I've talked to him and he's telling me about how the black soldiers were there and. Mm-hmm. They were in Jacksonville, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the black soldiers were in Jacksonville several times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the derivation of that very quickly? Jacksonville, if the blacks could escape from the plantation and get to the river,
mm-hmm.
they were picked up by the gunboats.
The gunboats, oh
they
yes.
brought them up through here and then on to South Carolina and trained them, and they found 15,000, I think, blacks in those days who formed the nucleus of three or four South Carolina Union regiments. And when the Union came back down here, they fought in and around Jacksonville four different times. They never chose to capture and keep Jacksonville. They were in and out of it.
In and out.
And those soldiers, many of them were black, who
yep.
had escaped, gone to South Carolina, come back and fought, and they were particularly interested in getting back to, you know, those people that abused them.
Oh yeah, it's a fascinating, this whole area.
How about the western part of Nassau County, places like Callahan and Hilliard, even Yulee? Can you tell me anything about?
The Afro had a, let's see, who was it? Was it Sessions? Every branch had his little manager,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I think Sessions was over that area, Callahan, that area.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember in the sense of except we would come that way sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a golf course.
A black golf course?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Where was it?
In Jacksonville.
Okay. Okay.
I tell you, Brian, we live.
Yes, I'm sure. That's wonderful.
We had our own black, and Joe Lewis was the...
Now he was in American
played
Beach.
There. When, yeah, he yeah. played. He came to American Beach, and all of the famous, musicians came to, because they'd go to the two spot,
okay.
and then, of course, they'd come out here for the,
uh-huh.
the real party.
Yeah. Let me bring up the western part of the county again. I've
okay.
heard good black people say Yulee was a pretty tough area. For blacks, did you?
Oh yeah, because don't forget that's how you came out off of 17.
That's right.
Oh yeah, that's Ku Klux Klan area.
Was Ku Klux
Klan?
Oh
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, definitely.
So you'd come up 17 and turn.
Turn right.
A1A.
That's right.
Yeah,
turn
okay.
in. Come on in.
Were you frightened when you went through?
Well,
there?
I remember a couple of times. You know, kind of. I remember coming up with some other friends. They weren't. My mom and dad or anybody, and they're telling us to sort of stay down on the floor.
Are these your white people driving? Or?
No, these are black people, but telling us as children
kids,
to stay low on,
yeah.
on the
okay.
floor. And so it must have been maybe something had happened before.
Were they frightened about maybe someone would shoot at the cars?
Shoot at the car, right.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was a, when you came in on 17, because we always went to that last filling station, I remember, because my friends would say, now look, we're not going to gas up until we got, you had to get, you know, full tank, because
mm-hmm.
they didn't want to stop.
Yes.
I remember that, because I remember one time stopping, and it was a bad experience. Yeah. So.
Can you tell me anything about
well,
that?
Well, that was one time I told you when I think they put something in our
I see. Oh, okay.
Our battery, because by the time we got through, it was... quite
okay.
a bit of money they had to put out. Oh yeah, so
then
you didn't stop.
You would gas up as full tank
right.
in Jacksonville. Would that bring you up here and take you back?
That's right.
Could you?
Sometimes we'd go to the, now the halls weren't that bad. I mean, the people who had the filling station right here at what would it be, Amelia City?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They all knew us. In fact, American Beach was like. You know, like I said, we supported the whites here because when they, it's the American Beach time, and thousands, Brian, the buses, the cars, and don't forget this is vacation time, so people are spending money. So the whites were nice to us.
So you were comfortable in and around, but it was that
except the police
trip.
Situation, the trip,
uh-huh.
the gassing up, that was always bad.
Uh-huh.
But if you could make it here, and the people, like I said, the Hall family, I never should get Lowell Hall, they were very nice to us, and that was okay.
How about restrooms on that trip from Jacksonville
up
here?
Oh, you didn't.
You didn't do it.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
everything was, you gassed up and you did everything else up until you got here. Oh, no.
Do you ever remember having to stop along the way, being concerned about one of the kids having to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, well, that I remember going going down to Daytona. We'd leave the beach sometime to go to Daytona to visit with Mrs. Bethune, but and of course that's a longer trip.
Yeah, I was in her house a couple of weeks ago.
Wonderful.
It's just the way she left it.
Yes.
What else can you think about that's Nassau County history that's not the beach, which is very well documented by Marcia and so forth, but what other life experiences can you share with me that related to black people?
Really, as I said, now see, don't forget, Brian, you've got kind of the wrong person because I spent 10 years in Europe.
Yeah, that's okay.
So now, okay, now get the picture. I went to college. When we came home, this is in the 50s, I would come down in the summer. Again, see, we would bring everything with us except if we stayed a month, and that was rare. We always came for the weekend. You just bought enough for the weekend, all your food and bread.
Sure, yeah.
And then you'd go back, except I remember going to the ice house and stuff. But then when I came home in the 60s, I mean, after I had had my little career, singing in the opera in Europe, I was back home in 65, and I remember coming to the beach then because my mother fixed up my grandfather's house. By the way, I inherited that, and I did live at the beach for 5 years. So I remember coming for that and having to go into town to get supplies
in Fernandina.
Yeah, right. Okay. And but the thing I remember noticing much that you seldom saw black people.
Okay.
This was I remember my mother remarking.
Seldom saw black people in Fernandina.
In Fernandina.
Okay.
Because don't forget where we there was that God I can see that lumber company. You know the one on the left. What is that 8th Street? That's where we went. It was no Scotties. There's a lumber company on it, and that's where we would go. But you seldom saw that many black people.
Did this concern you, being black in an area where you didn't see many whites?
Well, we thought it was strange. Although, don't forget now, we had traveled a lot because of the fact that mother and daddy were in this thing. So we had gone to other small towns.
But
don't forget, we saw a lot. I mean, when you went to Miami, but again, maybe it's because of the town. There's always that street, like Asher Street for Jacksonville.
Yeah,
what is it in Miami? I think it's 2nd Avenue, where you would go and, you know, hey, man, everybody sort of hang out and sort of thing. But you didn't have that here in Fernandina, so.
Did the white merchants that you dealt with in town when you came, did they treat you right? Were they easy to deal with, or were they?
I don't remember anything rude, but I don't think they were all that especially friendly. But from what I hear, some of the relationships were good. But I must admit, I didn't notice anything unusual about that.
When did you first vote?
When did I first vote? Now when I was in my 20s, I was in Europe.
Okay.
I guess I voted when I came home.
And that was it?
No. I voted by proxy because I went to the embassy in Europe because I voted for Kennedy.
Okay.
I remember that. That was my first time, really.
When you got back, did you ever have any trouble voting, or was that past? You know, the days of poll taxes and things of that.
I remember hearing
literacy
parents
tests.
Talk about that, all that. I just remember hearing talk of that. Oh, yeah.
Can you share any of that talk with me?
I remember Daddy, who was running for mayor, and they were going to give a fish fry, and Daddy was going around... one of the mayors. But anyway, he was white, and of course how they'd come into the black community. Mm-hmm. And since my great-grandfather and everyone were such prominent members of the community, of course they would come for an endorsement, which is a class, you know, that's, and I remember things like that. And Daddy, of course, we had two cars, two Cadillacs. So I remember taking people to my daddy taking people to polls. But and don't forget now, Jacksonville is divided in not only black-white, but you have the more affluent and the poorer section. The east side of Jacksonville was very much the poorer section, which, and I think they suffered even worse because that was near the docks.
Yes.
You know, all towns, I mean, it's, yeah. it's it, I don't know whether to say this or not, but I mean, it just as if that area, I guess this is, it's the they would way they would manipulate people for jobs, that the race relationships mm-hmm. were always mm-hmm. somehow worse in that part mm-hmm. of town.
Mm-hmm.
And the east side was down, and I remember, because that's where the church was, that's where the AME church was.
Okay.
And I remember on Sunday, I was going there, and my great-grandfather, we would deliberately go down Florida. We would never come back a certain route. And I would sometimes ask, I said, why don't we go, you know, he said, oh, no, that's a, you know, it's not that good.
And
so
when you were going back and forth from Jacksonville, you were driving in Cadillacs.
Oh, yeah.
And I suppose...
Oh, yeah. And
would that attract attention?
Oh, sure. You see, this is another thing that the, and don't forget, now my great-grandfather not only had a chauffeur, he had a valet.
Mm-hmm.
When he would travel, he's taking almost a company with him.
Yes.
The man who, I can remember now, at his house, he built a little house for his valet, sort of like a little mm-hmm. room and area for mm-hmm. him on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
he came to American Beach.
Oh yeah, with his valet, yeah, and with his chauffeur. But he sat in the front seat.
I see. Okay.
He always teased him. I'm like, I'll sit in the back seat.
Yeah.
But So of course they're gonna notice all this.
Yes. Can you remember any particular problems that those Cadillacs caused?
Well, as I said. I remember more talk that you always gassed up and I can remember, Brian, God, we always get up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You never left. If you want to go north, as I said, we were living in Washington, D.C., so Mom and Daddy would take us up there to be with my grandmother when we were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get up early.
So you wanted to travel in the day.
By nighttime, you would be, you would at least be in Virginia.
Yeah.
You would never be caught in North Carolina centers or North Carolina, South Carolina. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, talking about these kinds of things, Martin Luther King used to say that the riots and the problems in St. Augustine were as bad as he'd ever seen.
Yes.
In fact, there were times he wouldn't go to St. Augustine.
That is an unusual thing about saying, you would think the opposite, you know,
yes,
with so much Spanish and intimate. A lot of mulattoes.
Yes.
But it was horrible. Yeah,
Folks talk about how bad that was down there?
I remember, because Daddy had passed by then, Mom saying about, now don't forget too, this is the time when I'm in Europe, so I'm getting letters.
Yes, okay.
Now that's a weird thing too, Brian, to be in Europe looking back.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have blacks who are in it, those who are looking at it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, way
in
over
Europe,
here.
Yeah.
And it was so strange, because don't forget that a lot of blacks had literally escaped. I mean, all Richard Wright went to Europe, all mm-hmm. the jazz mm-hmm. musicians. And here I was, I felt very privileged to be in Europe at this time, because it was almost like I was rescued.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at it very at a distance, and of course mm-hmm. all the Europeans, the French at that time were very sympathetic mm-hmm. to the black cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was treated like Queen Tut, you know, and in Germany, oh my God, ooh, Frau Bitch, I thought, my God, what a contrast. In Jacksonville, I'm the last one to be waited on here. When I walk into the store, they walk. So I had a completely different world. But it was funny to read in the paper. I think it was the Times Herald, Herald Tribune. The Herald Tribune, that's right. And because in growing up, I had lived it, but now here I am reading about it, almost as if
that's
the way a white
person. Interesting experience.
It's an interesting experience.
Yeah.
And I remember reading about that riot that went, when
Saint
they
Augustine.
Had the dogs in St. Augustine. Yeah. Now see, I'm away from it.
Yeah, and you probably.
And I thought, my God, I mean, you know, it was.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, definitely.
What can you tell me about black newspapers around Nassau County? Were there papers available at American Beach that were published, black papers that were published?
Now, I don't know about Nassau, but I know we had it in Jacksonville. There was a, don't forget there was an Afro-American newspaper, which was sort of like a national newspaper, and we had a Florida branch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember because the paper was colored.
Okay.
It was, believe it or not, like that.
Okay.
It was a kind of a pinkish color.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, you know, because white folks had white colored paper. You know, I mean, children notice these things.
Sure.
It may sound weird. But our paper was colored. I loved it.
Okay.
And of course, you know, back in those days, you had your section.
Yes.
In the white paper. It wasn't, you had a news for and about colored people.
Okay.
It's a white newspaper.
Okay.
But there was a national newspaper. That's where we got a lot of the news. There were at least two or three local black newspapers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because I remember bringing them down, and we'd sit around and...
You'd bring them to the beach.
Now, don't forget, now, I went to Oberlin.
Okay, yes, right.
Now, this is
that.
A liberal.
Yes,
this
okay.
is Oberlin was first college to admit blacks.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
First small liberal arts college to admit blacks.
Okay. No,
so
I didn't know that.
It had a tradition. Don't forget, it's also the route of the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
So Oberlin has a very strong tradition. So here I am going, not only is my life special in the sense of where my great-grandfather sheeted us because of our economic, but then I go to a liberal, and I do mean liberal in the sense that they were in the forefront with civil rights and everything. And so that's interesting too, just to hear what kids from other countries are talking when we're in our bull say, you know, kids sit around and
sure,
talk.
Sure.
And I never shall forget when this little girl came up to me. It's kind of a weird story because she was from Florida. And she, bless her heart, I know she meant well, but it was during that time when liberals were sort of, they felt some things, but in some instances it was almost kind of a little superficial. She just said, I hear you from the South, and what can we do, what can we do for you sort of thing? And I just sort of looked at her and said, we have our own beach. You know, as if to say, do-do-do-do-do, you know. And I didn't mean it in a mean way, but having been brought up where we were always had our
You were proud.
Yeah, we always had our pride and everything, Brian. I mean, my great-grandfather, Booker T. Washington, and we went up to, they went up to New York to hear the Harlem Renaissance playwrights and poetry, and it was just another world.
Mm-hmm.
And, but bless her heart, later, I met her one time when she was in Jacksonville, and we laugh about that when she came up to me. But
you, I'm sure, I know you have white friends now, but when you were growing up, did you have white friends that you played? They were pretty much in that?
Pretty much. Brian, you cannot believe this. The only white persons we had were our white teachers at the private girls' school. Now, don't forget, I went to Banneker, but I came back home and went to Borden Haven,
okay.
which was a private girls for private school for black
okay.
girls,
okay.
run by the Methodist Church, and
okay.
all and our teachers were white and black.
Okay, all right.
That's it.
Okay.
I had no white playmates.
That's
sorry.
That's interesting.
It's
yeah.
interesting.
Let me.
And but I hear in Ferndina, you did have black and white.
Yes.
Playing together.
They had lots of fun together.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Did you ever go to church at the AME church here?
Mm-mm.
No? So
I never went to an integrated church. I never went to Episcopal church once I went to Oberlin. But I never went to an integrated church in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm talking about AME here, the black church.
No, I don't remember going
okay.
here.
So when you came up 17 and across, you stayed on the beach
yeah,
and went home.
Yeah, because don't forget that we had already gone to church. So
yes.
You came to the beach after.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
yes, you got it right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So it was just a black on black world. Yeah. It's amazing.
Can you help me with the looking at today's delineation of the south end of the island? What part physically of the south end of the island was the plantation, the Harrison plantation?
That whole south end?
The whole south, from maybe...
So from American Beach south.
Okay. Was
that
it
was
all...
the Harrison. That's right,
okay,
Brian. That's it.
Okay, okay.
And that I'll show you the black, and the, of course the cemetery is a separate.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see Franklin Town where they buried the slaves, and then you'll see the where the
okay.
whites were buried. And guess what? I know the young man, the descendant. Very nice man. Sam Harrison is a writer.
Wonderful.
When that magazine I showed you from Orlando came out,
yes.
he drove up from Tallahassee. He had read it. He drove all the way up to American Beach, he said, and jumped out the car and said, "Who is this?" Yeah, I'm used to people coming by and everything, but he was in a little convertible. I never shall forget. He said, "You're the beach lady?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm Sam Harrison, the only living descendant of the Harrison." I said, "Well, what do you know?" And he's a writer.
Isn't
and he is doing a historical novel.
Is he? That's wonderful. That's great.
And he got a chance to meet Aunt Rosa. Oh, God, I wish she had lived. The story she could have told you about what went on. Now, you know, the Harrison Plantation, Brian, was pretty yucky.
Was it?
Yeah, I hear that the master had children with the black woman,
okay.
and the white woman would kill the... In fact, you have to ask Mr. Green to show you the tree. They call it the... blood tree or something where they would bury these little children.
I see.
So that's the kind of...
The wives would do that.
Yeah, the white women,
would,
wives,
would
or
probably,
well, of these were jealous or whatever.
Of, yeah,
yeah
okay.
dispose of the children of
okay.
this,
okay.
of the slave and this slave master. I'm sure okay. this happened, but Harrison was, I mean, each plantation is a different story.
Yes,
I mean, some
true.
You get
yeah.
more, but I mm-hmm. hear this is what was going on at the Harrison.
Okay.
So when you interview Mr. Green, be sure to ask
okay.
him. He'll give
all right.
you.
Okay. Okay. Now let me ask you about something that intrigues me, and that's the Honey Dripper.
Oh, the Honey
Can you
Dripper.
Tell me a little of the history of that?
You got to get the person to get that. I'll tell you. You see, you also have a little black area we call Stewartville.
Stewartville.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see there was a restaurant across the street, Frederick's restaurant. Owned by a black woman,
from the Honey Dripper.
Across from the Honey Dripper.
Mm-hmm.
It was fabulous, Brian, because you could sit on the back and enjoy the view.
This was the marsh.
And we thought we were doing something naughty to get the family car,
mm-hmm.
drive to the beach, you know, high school, you know, this was big deal with our boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
We were going and we'd have dinner there, and, you know, we thought, and we'd, don't worry, we'd be home by 12. My daddy was, you know, daddy took me to the prom. Oh, my God. But anyway, now the Honey Dripper, see, again, don't forget my cousin. We were mostly my great-grandfather. I'm sure if I'd been my grandfather, I would have known, because I remember him sending his stepsons around there to get alcohol and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Because, see, there were only two places that had black people that had liquor license.
Okay, one was the Honey
one
Dripper.
One was the Honey Dripper, and the other at American Beach.
Okay. Oh, right on the beach. Oh,
right on the beach.
Okay.
It still is.
Okay.
Evans is
okay.
the big
Evans.
Nightclub, the big
okay.
light.
Okay.
So, but I do remember him going up because Evans had closed or wasn't open on during the weekend.
Okay.
I remember him sending up to the Honey Dripper.
Okay.
So that has always been black owned, and as far as I know. And of course, across the street was the Frederick's restaurant. It was gorgeous.
Was that in any way related to Freda Frederick?
Yes, of course, that was her.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And then she didn't. Oh God! The husband died, and it's now up for sale. God, and it was black owned. It was the and think what a perfect spot it was, because she could get white and black being on A1A.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And right across from
right
the
across
liquor.
From the haunted liquor store,
yeah.
you
uh-huh.
had Frederick, and on the other side, I'll show you there was a black family that owned a house there. So you have American. You've got Harrison Plantation, American Beach, or Franklin Town. Then you had another little miniature black enclave right there with the
okay.
Honey Dripper, Frederick's Restaurant, and
okay.
One or two family. I'll show you that.
Okay.
That's what we
well,
call.
That's right where Francis Holliday lives. You
right.
Know? Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That was.
That's Amelia City. They call
Amelia
it.
Amelia City.
That's
okay.
Right.
And then American Beach.
Yeah.
And was Franklin Town and the Harrison Plantation one and the same, or were they different?
No, they're one in the
one
same.
In the same.
One in the
okay.
same. It's just that once they got free, they called it Franklin Town.
Yeah, okay.
yeah, they were in the same area, yeah. That's
okay.
right.
Okay.
That's it.
Is there anything else you can tell me that you think would be of interest to people who are reading about the history of Nassau County that we haven't talked about?
No, except for the fact, as I said, Ferndina was the first branch for the Afro, and my great-grandfather had a very spiritual connection here. The Afro owned a lot of property. If you go to the courthouse, you will see, this is, of course, now you know the Afro is no longer. It was bought out by Atlanta Life.
Yes.
But in its heyday, you can see on the tax records.
Okay.
So the Afro really, really supported economically the black areas here because they owned property here. And as I said, people could get their mortgages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were coming to American Beach in the summer as a young person, even beyond that age, black elected officials in Nassau County?
Never remember black, no.
Okay. There's an interesting piece of history to me. Back, you are familiar with the word Reconstruction. That's the end of the war to about 1877 when the states were admitted back into the Union when they did certain things. Following Reconstruction, there was a period of time when lots of blacks ran for office, lots of blacks were elected. It was a pretty comfortable time for blacks until they got to about the 1900s.
We had some at La Villa.
Did you? Okay.
No. Yes, La Villa had its own little mayor and stuff. Yes,
okay.
Yes, I remember my great-grandfather talking about that. Go ahead,
all
I
right,
can,
good.
Okay, go
okay.
ahead.
Yeah. Then after that period came the Jim Crow laws. Now, when the blacks had to ride in the back of the bus, blacks couldn't vote, et cetera, et cetera. I think we've really touched most of that in our discussion here.
Oh, but I must tell you this to inject here. When they went to the insurance, don't forget we had our own National Negro Insurance Company, association. And each year they have a different place. When they went to California, I remember my great-grandfather and them having the entire car. And we just thought,
the whole railroad
car. The whole railroad car.
Uh-huh.
All of the insurance people from Florida had their own. And the A. Philip Randolph with the
Pullman car.
They were so nice. I remember they were going to have their own beds. We just thought this was the ultimate to be able to go out to California and your own, the entire car would be all black and have their own beds. And
did you ever go on one of those trips?
No, I didn't go, but I remember my uncle coming back talking about it. Was
A. Philip Randolph ever at American Beach?
I would like to think so. I remember them talking about he went to school at Edward Waters. You see, my mother was a registrar. She was also later the treasurer.
Okay.
Treasurer of Edward Waters. He went to school there, so, but did you know the connection with Zora Neale Hurston?
No.
Zora Neale Hurston married, I don't know which husband now, the son of one of the founders of the Afro. To show you how small the world is, wait a minute, when she gets ready to get a divorce, guess who's her, one of the lawyers? My uncle. So Afro somehow was indirectly related. That's an interesting one.
Well, I think we've had fun talking here together. I've enjoyed it, and I don't know of anything else that I wanted to ask you, but this is